joining us this morning, and we're going to continue a series, and I'm just going to go ahead and announce ahead of time, there's going to be one more after this. I know, I was trying to kind of wrap it up, but the more I'm into it, the more I see, and I want to just tell you, it has a way of growing, and I want to tell you, I'm not going to be under pressure to try to wrap something up and leave it out. I guess my question is, do you want to hear it all? Well, we're going to have another one after this. Now, next week, we're going to have an exciting Sunday where the school's joining us and parents and kiddos and teachers and the directors. And we're going to do a sermon next Sunday that I really want everybody to hear. It's how to we either can build or batter our home. And I want to tell you, the Lord wants you to build a home. He wants to build a home with you. And he has some specific things on that that I'm very excited to share. I'm doing my best not to preach it this week, okay? But I got to share some things with you. And then the wrap-up of this will be the first Sunday in August. And it's the most important sermon in all of it, but I got to kind of build up to it. You understand? We get all the wheels on, and then we'll do the last sermon and do a wrap, and it'll be a lot of fun, okay? All right. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for hearing and seeking the Lord. All right, because my confidence is in him, not in me. But I have a lot of confidence in the Lord. All right, I had a testimony just recently, and you know, I minister to people outside of our church. You understand that, to different pastors, different churches. And if you've been around for a while, people know how to find you. And so, but there was a precious little person that contacted me, and this was their first statement. Pastor Tim, I'm drowning. Now, I don't know. You probably know what that feels like. They said, I can't breathe. I'm dying here, and I got to have help. And I want to tell you, I've just been, you know, it's amazing how you get up and have time with the Lord, and a lot of times the very scripture that the Lord is loving on you with, you have the opportunity to share that same insight, that same personal touch to others during the day or during the week. It's so exciting how the Holy Spirit does that. I've never gotten over it, never will. It's so exciting to me. But here's something that I shared with that person that seemed to really make a breakthrough for them. And so it's a part of the series, Triple Anointing. And what I want to say is, this is yours. It's yours. It's not something to be earned. It's not something to be deserved. No one, none of us would deserve it. But it's grace. And it's not, the anointing is a person, okay? It's Jesus in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he has been given to you as a grace gift. It's your benefit from accepting Christ. And he's with you and promised to never leave you. I want to tell you, we've got so much. It's like having Jesus with you 24/7. Because it really is. His Spirit's in you. And I'll tell you, this will do a heaven of a lot for you if you catch it. Because it means that you have continual access to him and all that he is. Well, I'll tell you, that I ain't gotten over it yet. Okay, Isaiah 59 and 19. We actually see in Isaiah 59 a picture of New Covenant in the Old Testament. Is that great? I mean, the Lord just gives a picture of what it's going to be like after Christ, what Christ is going to accomplish, what the cross will win for us. And it's right here in Isaiah 59, verse 19. So the result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord. In other words, fear the name of the Lord means to have a love life with the Lord. You'll know him and you'll have love life with him. That's what fear the Lord means. It's an intense, all out, wholehearted love life with God. And we have access to that. We have that. They will reverently fear the name of the Lord. They'll love the Lord from the West. Now, I want to tell you, you're living in the West. You really are. I mean, we're referred to as the West. You're living in the West. And his glory from the rising of the sun. Now, the rising of the sun is considered the Far East. As a matter of fact, there's a nation on the Far East that's referred to as the land of the rising sun. Matter of fact, their flag reflects that. And so that's Japan. So I'm telling you, from the far west to the far east, God's going to have a people that love him and that have love life with him. Is that exciting? And when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And I want to tell you, this is what this little person was sharing with me. I'm drowning. I can't breathe. I'm dying here. You've probably experienced that sometime in your life. If not, then hang on. You very well could. Because the enemy will come in. Sometimes it seems like he attacks and it's just overwhelming. Sometimes it seems like he attacks from all sides. But listen, we don't have to fear. Because of the covenant, because of the cross, because of Jesus, because of the Spirit in you. Watch out. Here we go. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, he's with you. Everything that he is in you. If you know Christ, we're on this side of the cross. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Does this say that you have to build something? No, it says the Lord will. The Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. Who? Put the enemy to flight. Now I want to tell you, if the enemy's on a run, you're in good shape. I want to tell you, the enemy, the Lord can put the enemy on the run. Okay? Now, I'm just going to say this real quick. He won't do it without your cooperation. But I'm telling you, with your cooperation, hey, when the enemy comes in like a flood, look what happens. The Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he, talking about the Lord, will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. In other words, it's like he comes in, the enemy comes in like a flood. The Lord comes in like a mighty, powerful, rushing wind and stream to drive the flood back. When the enemy comes in like a raging flood tide, the Spirit of the Lord will drive the enemy back. Let the saints say, amen. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion. And to those in Jacob and Israel who turn from transgression, says the Lord. And so this is the one who rescues. The one who rescues, the Lord himself, will come on behalf of Zion. Somebody say church. Yeah, I'm telling you, the church is his bride. And you know what? He's all about protecting and defending his bride. And so he will rescue, he will come and rescue, show himself mighty in the behalf of his bride, of the church. And he will turn them away from ungodliness. Now that's something. I want to tell you, when you're in a pit and when you're addicted and when you have a stronghold like a chain in your life, you can't get yourself free. There's a lot of self-help programs out there, but I'm telling you, you can't set yourself free from chains, but he will, because he's the rescue, and he's promised he'll turn them away from ungodliness. He's the only way that can take the power and the punishment of sin away. He sets us free. Aren't you thankful for the freedom of the Lord? And as for me, this is my covenant, or my league with him. So the Lord says it's a covenant. Now I want to tell you, when it's a covenant, it's a promise that he keeps. He will not break his promise. He is the one true promise keeper. My spirit, here it is. I want to tell you, this is new covenant. We get his spirit. The one that was upon them is in us. That's the benefit. That's a better covenant. Holy Spirit would come upon them. The Holy Spirit resides in us. We got it better. We get both. We get the inside and outside. He writes the law of God inwardly on the heart. This is what the Lord does now. It's not his words for us. His instruction for us is not in stone. It's right here in the heart where we can see and hear what God wants. My words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouths of your children or out of the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, I want to tell you, that's a promise of the future. God can do something man can't do. And he's saying this. This is what he wants to do. He will reside in us. He will write his words, his direction, his life on the tablets of our heart. And he will put his words in our mouth. And they'll not depart out of our mouth. Now, at one time in my life, I remember I was meditating. Because this is what it says in Joshua 1, that you shall meditate on the word of God, and that the word will not depart out of your mouth. And I was saying, how does that, what is that? I don't understand that. I'd gone fishing, and caught a number of fish that day. Not saying that happens every day. Caught a number of fish, brought them home, cleaned them up, cooked them up, put them on the table for the boys. And I was so excited about them eating fish, fresh fish that was just swimming a couple hours ago. And so, man, we sat down to a big fish feast. And I'll never forget, Chris, my youngin', was about 5 years old, if I remember right. And, man, we were getting after the fish. And all of a sudden, he spit food out of his mouth on our table. Just spit it out. Now, we didn't operate that way. I know y'all think I'm real country, but we don't do that. Okay? And so, man, before I could even have a thought, I jumped. Okay? And I said, boy, we don't do that. You don't spit your food out on the table like that. What's wrong with you? And he said, Dad, it had a stick in it. Now, I want to tell you, it didn't take but about half a second for me to figure out that there was a bone that I had not gotten out of the fish. He was eating the fish. There was a bone in it, and he spit it out. And so I did go ahead and give him instruction about how to spit out food. See, boy, that's what the paper towel for. And I showed him by example. You know, you show by example. And I'll tell you, that was okay. But see, the Holy Spirit used that to teach me that the food had departed out of his mouth. And he didn't get the benefit of that nutrition in his body, that bite. Now, it was replaced. But I'm here to say to you that the Word of God is put in you. And I want to tell you, when you keep the Word of God in you, it's to be digested. And when you digest, see, that's what meditating on the Word is. That's what's receiving the Word and making the seed, that holy seed, that divine seed, good soil in your heart, and you keep it there, and you don't let the birds come steal it away, right? You don't let it land on a rock in your heart where it don't produce. I'm telling you, good soil. Hey, when we take the Word of God and we digest it into our life, the kingdom of God is multiplied and reproduced in our life. We get the benefits. And so this is what it's talking about. The Word of God will not depart out of your mouth. You won't spit it out. You'll digest it, and your children will digest the Word, and your children's children will digest the Word. And so there's going to be divine kingdom blessing on your kids and your grandkids. Somebody say amen. Why? Because it's covenant and he's the keeper of the covenant. We don't keep the covenant, he does. We're the benefit of his works, of his acts, of his report card. He's the keeper of the covenant. We're the benefit. His Spirit and his words. Now, we activate the protection of the Lord from the flood. We activate the blessing of the covenant when we agree, when we submit to it. Hey, it's by believing. Abraham showed us. It wasn't by his report card because he was a mess too. But I'm telling you, Abraham believed. And because he believed, it was counted as righteousness unto him. And I want to tell you, that's the way we receive. And see, the benefits of God, the working of the Lord in our life, the abundant life of Jesus Christ is not just for the sweet by and by, it's for the nasty now and now. Isaiah 60, it's continuing. Verse 1, arise from the pit. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. You may have been kept under the circumstances, at the bottom of the barrel, maybe under the barrel, and circumstances have kept you there. It may be that tunnel of depression, and you've been laid out, and it seems like you can't move, you can't make any progress, but what the Word of God is saying is arise, because Jesus is the covenant keeper, because of what he done, not what you've done, but because of what he's done, we can arise. We can arise. We can rise to a new life. Do you love that? What do we do about it? We shine. And I want to tell you, it doesn't take any grunting to shine. It doesn't take any sweating to shine. You know what you do? You reflect the glory of the Lord. Now, when you're reflecting the glory of the Lord, it means that the glory of the Lord's in you and you're receiving. I want to tell you, the moon does not give forth light on its own. The moon is a reflected light. It's shining. It's lights from the sun. That's the way it is to be with us. We're to absolutely receive our light, our shine, our glory from the Lord. How do we do that? By beholding Him. When we behold the S-O-N, His glory reflects through us. It reflects through your countenance. It reflects through your attitude. He reflects through your words. He reflects through your actions. But the main thing is that you just shine. And when I was a boy, you know, we didn't have air conditioning, okay? Can you imagine deep east Texas during the summertime, as thick as the air is, and no air conditioning? All the windows were up, you understand, at night. And I would find myself, my face placed against the window, trying to sleep, you know, hoping for a breeze to come through. But I'm here to tell you, those hound dogs, those beagle dogs, whenever the full moon was out, they would bark all night long. They would howl at the moon. But I want to tell you, I got a funny picture of that, that, you know, the moon wasn't bothered by their barking. The moon just shine on. And so what I'm telling you is that there's all kind of hounds in this life that want to bark you up, that want to try to get you irritated. You know what your job is? Just to shine. And so this is what it's saying here, shine. Okay? Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine for all to see. The glory of the Lord shines on you. Now, I want to tell you, I can't talk about this without thinking about Stephen in the Old Testament when he was actually being tortured and was being killed by the Antichrist mob, Antichrist rulers, and they all had to say that when they looked at his face, that his face shined to such a place that they described it as the face of an angel. Now, I want to tell you what he did. He didn't get upset. Okay, you know what he did? He even forgave them. And I want to tell you something. He just let the glory of the Lord shine. He testified that he saw the Lord, and the glory of the Lord was shining through him. I want to tell you, it makes a difference when you go through your journey and you let the Lord shine through you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do with you and for you and through you. For behold, verse 2, darkness shall cover the earth. Well, can we say that we recognize a little darkness on the earth? And I want to tell you, it's getting darker, but that's okay. Jesus said it would. But the darkness doesn't have to affect us. I want to tell you, even though it's all around us, I want to tell you, we can shine. The darker it gets out there, the brighter the light shines. And dense darkness for all peoples, but the Lord shall rise upon you. See, this ought to say something to you. You may be in a shadow time of your life. You may be going through a dark tunnel right now, but I want to tell you it's temporary. You behold the Lord. Behold His glory. Enjoy the beauty of the Lord. Let the love of the Lord flow in you, and you will shine because the Lord will shine in you and through you. Somebody say amen. Get ready, because when you shine, nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. I want to tell you, instead of you trying to having to try to talk people into coming to church, they'll be saying to you, where do you go? I want to know the Jesus you know. I want to go to a church where they preach the same Jesus that I see in you. And they'll come. They'll follow you. You can just lead the parade right here into the parking lot. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful thing when the Lord is drawing people. And I want to tell you, keep inviting. Keep encouraging. But I want to tell you, there's a powerful witness when the Lord is drawing people's heart and you invite. You don't have to talk them into something or out of something. They say yes, and they may not even understand why they're saying yes. Here they come. John 14:26, but this is what we have, the Comforter. I love it that He's named the Comforter, because we need a lot of comfort in our journey. And the Comforter is present 24/7. He's always available. He's a very present help in time of trouble to comfort you. He's also your counselor. Look how the Amplified draws out the names of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you've been blessed. The counselor is in you. The helper is in you. Intercessor is in you. Sometimes you don't even know how to pray. He prays in you and through you to heaven. He's the advocate. He will take up for you. He's your attorney. He's your strengthener. He will stand by you. That's the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Now, I want to tell you how I explain this. Jesus was saying to them, I'm going to go. Father's going to send Holy Spirit, but he's going to send one just like me. Because you see their thoughts, oh no, Jesus won't be with us. We've been so enjoyed the presence and fellowship of Jesus, and he's our shepherd, and he won't be with us. He said, no, no, no. His Father's going to send one just like me that will be with you, listen, 24/7. Now, I want to tell you, that's an advantage. Let's all say that's an advantage. That's an advantage. We have a better relationship with God than the disciples had when Jesus was on earth. I usually get, you know, okay, that's all right. You don't have to shout and say amen yet, but I want to tell you, this is where the Bible goes. We're going to be a people of the Bible. If our experience doesn't line up with the Bible, then our experience is wrong and the Bible is right. Look what it says. He will teach you all things. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have teachers, because he gives teachers to the body of Christ as helpers to help us mature in the Lord. All right? But I want to tell you, you don't have to run around in life anymore saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what this means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the Lord wants. No, no, no. It says he will teach you. You have a guide. You have a GPS inside of you that's already on. We need to receive. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, be still and be quiet before the Lord, and receive. Because the Holy Spirit will give you specific direction for your life. That's part of what he's all about. I'm telling you, there's a full-grown Jesus inside of you that wants to help you. And I want to tell you, you say, well, it's just small, it's detail. No, no, no. If it bothers you, he's for it. Okay, he's there. If it's little to you, it's big to him. It's nothing too small or nothing too big. He wants to be a very present helper to you. And so he gives guidance. You say, well, I'm not listening. Well, be still. That's what the Bible says. Be still and recognize that he's the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something about being still. I had a little teenager that I was interviewing the other day for the first time in a couple years, and they were describing that the power went off at their house. And the power went off, and I said, well, what did that scare you? This is what she said. She said, I was miserable. She said, I was terrified on the inside. And I said, it was because of the dark? She said, no, because it was quiet. I'm not used to being quiet. I've always got noise on and noise going around me. And it was quiet. Now, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Something about the generation that I'm looking at right now. Something about it right now that's very, very true is that there's always noise going on. And I want to tell you something. When you get quiet, you hear. One of the reasons why people don't want to be quiet is because they don't want to hear that inside voice speaking to their life, okay? And so that's very, very important. All right, so listen to me here. Here we go now. He will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall. He'll cause you to recall. He'll remind you. He'll bring to your remembrance everything that I've told you. Now, I want to tell you, that's his job. Hey, I want to tell you, the time of remembrance, of recall, is very, very important, because the Holy Spirit will point Jesus out to you, and he will remind you that you're loved. He will remind you that you're kept, that he will protect you. He will remind you of the promises. He will remind you of what he's done in the past, and he will speak hope to you that what God's done in the past, he'll do in the future. Hey, we forget. We forget, and the Bible says over and over again, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget. Remember, remember, remember. And so it's very, very important that we practice letting the Holy Spirit show us the goodness of God in our life. Because what God's done before, he can do again. Now, he may not do it the same way, but it's the same God. And with the same result, he'll show himself mighty in your behalf. If he's done it for others, he'll do it for you. He doesn't love you less than he loves anybody else. It's the same love that the Father loved Jesus with, that Jesus loves you with, that the Holy Spirit ministrates to you, is the love of God. So we need to practice being still and practice remembering the goodness of God in our life. How that the Lord's taken us out of pits in the past. And the very pit that he's taken you out of in the past, he can take you out of this pit. I don't care what the name is. His name is above every name. Somebody say amen. And so this is a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to help you remember. One of the things that the Holy Spirit will do is that he will cause you, and we saw this with Abraham and Sarah, but he will cause you to remember the faithfulness of God. I want to tell you, I've asked people in ministry and in counseling, why don't you make a list of what all God's done in your life? And I want to tell you, at first, it's not uncomfortable to say, I can't think of anything. And then I have to start reminding them, well, the Lord did this. Oh yeah. And the Lord did that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you go and continue this list and let the Holy Spirit remind you of what all he's done in your life. And I want to tell you what that does. That develops a blessings journal. Now, I want to tell you, that may sound too simple for you, but your blessings journal can be a remembrance tool, a tool of remembrance. And when you practice remembering the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, guess what? Faith is sparked. When you focus on his faithfulness, faith is sparked. And so we ought to have those remembrances of what all the Lord's done quick on our lips to testify, to meditate on, and to think on, to value him. Remember his word, remember his works, because the Holy Spirit then takes his words and his works and reminds you who he is to you right now. Blessings journal. You know what this does? It stirs yourself up in the Lord. You minister to yourself in the Lord when you practice thanksgiving and remembering the blessings that God's put on your life. It sparks your faith. Hey, that's why that, and I've had over the years with teens, their little quiet time journal called A Book of Remembrance. Anybody remember that? But it's a tool to meditate on him with. And there's a lot of power that's released and a lot of wisdom released, a lot of manifestation that's released when we practice remembering the faithfulness of God. Romans 5:19 says this, "For just as by one man's disobedience, the many were constituted sinners." You understand that. By the first Adam's disobedience, we became sinners. I'm just going to say it. It's in your DNA. Because of Adam's fall, that became in our bloodstream, became part of our DNA. You were born sinners. Okay? Many were constituted sinners. So by one man's obedience, who is that? That's the second Adam. That's Jesus. Jesus came and did not sin. Okay? He was obedient to the Father. And because of his report card, see, this is why we say this, because of his report card, many are constituted righteous. We are made righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're made righteous because of what Jesus did in his life. And we're made acceptable to God. We're brought in right standing with him. And so let me just say it like this, and I hope this will be clear to you. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. All right, are you with me on this? That's the first Adam. Remember the DNA. Now, I want to tell you something, and we see this all the time, but sinners can do good things. But that don't make them righteous. Are you with me? Okay, now listen to me. When you accept Christ, the Bible says that he puts in you the righteousness of Christ. And so in you is the righteousness. It's part of the grace. It's given to you. You're made righteous because of Jesus. Remember covenant? Hey, he's our representative. Hey, he won it for us. And so when you accept Christ, hey, you're not forgiven because you do right. You're forgiven because you said yes to the covenant. You said yes to Jesus. All right? He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You're made righteous. You do right because you have righteousness in you. See, it's a difference. Because he's given us the Holy Spirit, yes, to convict us of sin, but a lot of times this is not preached, but also to promote righteousness in us. And so he promotes righteousness in you. So we do right because we're righteous. That's because of Jesus. Now, just like sinners can do good things, but that don't make them righteous. A righteous person can do bad things, but that don't make them unforgiven. Okay. Well, do you need to chew on that? Do I need to say it again? A righteous person can do bad things, but that don't make them unforgiven. Jesus has come once and for all on the cross. He doesn't come back every time you sin to die on the cross. It's done once and for all. It's settled. He said it's finished. And when you accept him and become a part of the covenant, it's finished for your life. A butterfly... And I saw this in the city of Irving. I was at Mount Irving. You know, Mount Irving is the highest point in Irving, and it's the trash dump in Irving. And I parked a Red Hawk up on top, and I'm looking and surveying out around the Metroplex. Boy, it's a beautiful place, you know. But I want to tell you, a butterfly came and landed on the trash. And I told him, hey, you don't belong here. Just across the river. See the Trinity River right there? Just across the river is a field full of flowers. You need to get your sweet self back across the Trinity River, and you need to enjoy the flowers. You weren't made for the trash dump. But you understand a butterfly can visit the trash dump. But they're not going to stay there because it's not their nature. Okay? Now wait. A lamb can get into the hog pen. A lamb can get muddy in the hog pen. But as much as the hogs enjoy it, and I'll tell you, my dad raised hogs, so I know, they enjoy the mud. Okay? A lamb's not going to enjoy the mud. May get muddy, but it's not its nature to stay there. Okay? Do you understand that? I want to tell you, according to Scripture, I want to tell you, you can sin. Okay, but according to Scripture, it's not to be your habitual lifestyle. It's not going to be your habitual lifestyle because the righteousness of God in Christ and the grace of the Lord is going to draw you out. And so we can go there, we can visit there, but as far as continual lifestyle, it's a no, no, no. Because the Lord will draw you out. All right, aren't you thankful? All right, so Galatians 5:16 says this, and I'm just going to say this real quick. When we walk with him, when we walk with the Spirit, when we walk in fellowship and in love life with the Spirit, it says that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the lust of the flesh is not a struggle, an energy struggle, a man struggle with a bunch of rules. I'm telling you, there's a life force in you, a love force in you. And that love force produces righteous living. And I want to tell you, it's because of righteous living, it's because of love life with you, that you will not walk in the flesh. All right? I know there's a lot of struggle with the flesh. You know, I don't quite know where it is. I mean, in my own mind, I think, does it have something to do with the body? It seems to, because this body will kind of draw you. Does it have something to do with the soul? Yeah, it seems to. So it's kind of in between soul and body, maybe connected. I don't know. But I do know this, boy, between your flesh and the world and the devil, I want to tell you, there can be a draw to darkness even amongst God's people. But that's why that we walk in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, I want to tell you, the temptation of the flesh is weak. When you're not walking with the Spirit, the temptation of the flesh is strong. Am I preaching to anybody? Okay, all right. So I want to show you a picture here, and yes, I do have plenty of time, so keep your seatbelt on. Mark chapter 6, and this was an amazing miracle that took place. I'm going to run through it as quick as I can because there's something at the end I really want you to see. And when the day, Mark 6:35, and when the day was already far gone, his disciples came to him. He'd been teaching. and said, "This is a desolate and isolated place, and the hour is late." Now, I want to tell you, I have people that tell me this. I'm in a desolate situation. I'm in an isolated situation. And it seems to be late. I don't seem to have much time left. This may be speaking to you in your journey. It may be physical with you. And I want to tell you, your physical situation may be getting worse and worse. If you look back 10 years ago or a year ago, maybe you were better off than you are now. But I want to tell you, that tends to happen in the physical. It tends to happen in the emotional. I want to tell you, strongholds get stronger. They don't get weaker on their own. But Jesus is the answer, and he's the rescue. And so your need meter is present. He's your rescue. And he will rescue you. He will restore you. He's your provider. He's more than enough, and he's very present help in time of trouble. Somebody say amen. That's your Jesus. And that Jesus that we see in the Bible is as strong as ever today, and he hasn't changed. He's just as strong. His desire and will is the same, and he dwells inside of you. Man, that's got to make a difference. It's to our advantage. Jesus said to them, "Well, why don't you send the crowds away to go into the country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat?" This is what the disciples said. This was their answer. There was a physical answer to a physical problem. Now, I want to say this to you. I ministered at a church. I'm not going to tell you where. Some of you know my schedule. I ministered at a church in the past, and it's an amazing church. I love their emphasis on the Word of God. But I began to ask them about church life, and I said, "Well, how do you minister to the people outside the public services?" And they said, "We don't." I said, "What do you mean you don't?" I said, "What if they need counseling?" They said, "We send them to counselors." Okay. "Well, do you pray over people that are sick?" "No, we send them to doctors." "Well, what about if they're having emotional problems?" "We send them to psychiatrists." Okay. "Well, what if they have financial?" "Well, we send them to a bookkeeper." There are people out there that teach on this kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, wait, you know, there's a way that if we're sending everybody away that has needs, that we're telling them, Jesus can't help you." I'm just saying this because this was the disciples' answer. "Well, we got this crowd here, and it's late and desolated and isolated, and the hour's late. They're in great need. Just send them away." And he replied to them, "You do it." And I want to tell you, that's what Jesus is saying to us. You see, that's part of the Great Commission. You do it. Okay? You do it. You minister to them. You love on them. And he replied to them, "Give them something to eat yourselves." And they said, "Well, what are we going to do? We looked in our wallets. We got about $40 between all of us. Are we going to go buy $40 worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That's not even enough for thousands of people. It's bigger than us." Now listen, that's a good position to be in. Okay? But you can't just look at the physical. If you're looking at your physical situation and your life is determined by what's in your checkbook or what's not, that's not enough. If you're looking at your physical situation, your medical situation, and you're looking at by what doctors or medicine can do, that's not enough. Oh, come on, we hear that often. Okay? If you're looking at a relationship situation, and it's getting darker and darker and worse, which it will on its own, you can't look and think that another human being is going to put it all back together. It won't. All right? But Jesus is the answer. Okay? With God, nothing is impossible. Let me say this to you personally. God loves the word impossible because it allows him to show forth his might. And he said to them, "Okay, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." And they went and they looked on a physical level. And knew, and they said, "Well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, it's all right to count your money. It's all right to organize your money. It's all right to know what you got on a physical level. But it's not right for you to depend on that for your ministry in life. Don't be limited by what you see in the physical. God's much bigger than that. Boy, the amen's really quieting down here a little bit. I must be getting kind of close. Hey, what you see is not your harvest. The little lad's lunch that was brought to him was not the harvest. It was the seed. So he commanded all the people to recline on the green grass by companies. And I love this because it's a picture of Psalm 23 that he makes us lie down in green pastures. Oh my. It speaks of the rest and receive. And so they threw themselves down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. Looked like garden plots out there, if you had the helicopter view. And he took the five loaves. I want to say to you, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Whatever's in your hand, make it his. A lot of power when we surrender and submit it to the master. He took the five loaves and two fish, and he looked up. Now, I want to tell you, this has been stirring me for a couple of years. I've encouraged our pastors to preach on it. I'm going to, okay? I want to tell you, there's a whole lot in that, and a lot of times during the ministry, the healings of the Lord, he would tell them to look up. And so there's more to that term than just look toward the sky, all right? And actually what it means in the language, and it's not super clear, but it goes like this. It goes like a double take, a double look. See past the seeing, to look again. And so it's not just seeing in the physical realm, it's seeing in the spiritual realm. Wow, man, that's beautiful. Oh, man, that's what we're supposed to do because we have the Holy Spirit that will show us in our heart what God's doing and what God's saying. We can hear what he's saying. We can see what he's up to. That's how Jesus operated. He looked up. I'm going to say into heaven. He didn't just look at the clouds. He looked past the physical. See, the disciples just looked at the physical and they were limited. Jesus looked past the physical and looked into the spiritual. And he saw the window of heaven opened up. And he saw the big trucks of heaven coming down with the best fish sandwiches this earth had ever tasted. And he gave thanks. He was praising God and gave thanks. Before they showed up in the physical, he saw them in the spiritual and he was praising God and giving thanks. Look, it would make a heaven of a lot of difference in your life if you would focus on Jesus and let the Holy Spirit minister hope to your heart, paint a picture on your heart about what God's saying and what God's doing in your life, and see yourself healed before it's manifested physically. You see it in your heart. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot to that. I don't have time to describe how many times he healed blind men, and this same term is used. And I just wonder, don't write this in concrete. This is Tim thinking. I just wonder that when he told them to look up, if maybe their eyes weren't opened on the inside to see themselves seeing before their physical eyes were opened. I'm just saying that because, you know, the Lord works that way. I'm just saying. Oh, my. He broke the loaves. He gave thanks, praising God. And he kept on giving it to the disciples to set before the people. And he did the same thing with the fish. And so here's the disciples, 10,000 plus people. They saw the need physically. They didn't see the spiritual resources. We need to see the spiritual resources. Jesus looked up to see again. Into heaven, gave thanks, blessed it before it arrived. And you know what happened? There was great things that took place. A miracle took place. Don't focus on physical lack, because if you focus on the physical lack, you'll speak negative curses. I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. And you just got through praying for the Lord to heal you. But you're confessing, you understand? You're confessing sickness while you pray for healing. Are you praying for provision, and then you're running and getting on the book of faith saying, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor, fund me, somebody fund, and no, come on now, wait, where's your heart, where's your direction in this? Don't focus on the physical lack, you'll speak negative, I want to tell you, there's a lot of believers that speak what they don't have versus saying what God says they have. We got to see right in the mirror. This is the mirror. It's the mirror of the Word of God. This is where you take not what the enemy says about you, what people say about you, what your own feelings or emotions may say. You look in the mirror of the Word of God and you say, that's what God says about me. That's true. Everything else is a lie compared to this truth. What you're going to see, you're going to see Jesus. And you're going to see that He's more than enough. I'll never forget, I got one of those calls as a pastor. Run out and jumped in the Red Hawk one morning and was taking off. And I didn't even get out of the driveway. And I thought, I need to look at my hair before I go. I looked in the rearview mirror and I hollered. Now you say, well, ain't much to mess up. Well, when it's messy, it's scary. And so, you know, probably what I should have done is took time to go back in there. But I'm so glad I looked in the mirror, because the mirror shows me the reality of where I am or where I'm not. And so I reached behind the seat, grabbed my cap that I always keep there for emergencies, and said, you thank God that God made caps. I'm covered. Somebody say amen. Hey, He's in us, and He's more than enough. We need to have our spiritual eyes open to see what God's doing and to hear what He's saying. If we were to have Elisha's servant here in the service today, he would say, there's a whole lot more happening in the spiritual realm than what you can see with your physical eyes. And when it looks like there's an army or there's a flood come out against you, God has another flood to raise a standard against it. God has an invisible army that's surrounding you, and He would say, there's more with us than what's with them. There's more for us than what's against us. And I tell you what, okay, wow. All right, one more verse. Can you hang with me for one more verse? John 16, verse 6. Jesus is sharing some dynamic things to them. And He's already said, I'm giving you these words to bring you peace and joy. But it's affected their hearts with sorrow. Now be careful now. There are some people that leave time in the Word of God, and they're enriched because the Spirit of God is presenting Jesus to them. There are some people that leave time with the Word of God, and they're full of sorrow because they're not seeing Jesus, not hearing Jesus, they're not receiving. Sat in the same row, right by each other. One receiving, one not. Well, it's all on how you approach. It's your mindset to Jesus' words. Let me say this. I shared with our leadership team in our huddle this morning. I shared a strong word with our leadership team. But see, the words of Jesus, you got to see through the love filter. It's through the love filter. Everything that God says, everything that God does, everything we're supposed to say, everything we're supposed to do, is supposed to be through the love filter of Jesus. Now, when it's through the love filter, even when it's a hard word, it has a redeeming effect. Sorrow has filled your hearts. I want to tell you, don't be scared of a test. There's no testimony without a test. Don't be scared by a challenge. There's no overcoming without a challenge. Don't be scared of a battle. There's no victory without a battle. But Jesus has promised that you will overcome, and He will lead you into overcoming. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, if you will follow Him. However, you're not alone and you're loved, but however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, it is advantageous. I want to tell you, we have an advantage of the people that walk around with Jesus on the shores, on the sand. We have an advantage. Oh, so many people believe that. I'll nearly shout it down with amen. We have an advantage, Jesus said. it's an advantage for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, the standby will not come to you into close fellowship. Anybody see that? Into close fellowship with you. You see what it's all about? Close fellowship. You say, well, why am I here? To fellowship with God. I'm telling you, if you'll fellowship with God, you'll find your purpose. You'll find His plan. You'll find His will. You'll find His victory if you fellowship with Him. Boy, that takes... man, I don't have time for that. Okay, here we go. But if I go away, I will send Him to you, one just like me, to be in close fellowship with you. It's our birthright. He's our GPS. He gives us glasses to see Him. He gives us ears to hear Him. That's what He said. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? He puts us in a position to receive, and He gives us a coach to help us receive and apply it. There's times that we need Jesus with skin on, but that's where we allow the Holy Spirit to love on other people the way He's loved on us. And you see, it's a kingdom connection. It's a love connection. It's all through the love filter. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the love filter. Can I pray for you right now? Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of your Holy Spirit that in a personal way, right now, in Jesus' name, that eyes are open to see you, to see what you're doing, to see what you want to do. I speak in the name of Jesus for ears to open, able to hear the whisper, the direction, the counsel, the hope of the Holy Spirit ministering your word to our hearts. I declare in Jesus' name that hope is rising up, that your glory is being released within us to shine. And I speak in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we have an expectation of your goodness, because that's you. That's your love for us. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're writing on that big screen of our heart, your heart for us, your love for us, your desire for us. And thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. You paid the price. And you declared that if Father would give us Jesus, would He withhold anything less? And the answer is no, He will not withhold anything less. He's given us His best. We give you praise. We celebrate you. I pray that the witness of your Spirit to your truth will ring clearly in the hearts and the lives of your people. And all people said, amen, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Amen and amen.